So Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to the end, which is verse 80. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed. And he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him." And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord, God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. The passage that we're reading today follows after the angel Gabriel visiting Zechariah and promising that John would be born to him and Elizabeth in their old age, and Zechariah wondering how that can happen since he was old, and the angel Gabriel saying, "Well, because you doubted, you're not going to be able to speak until it does happen." And then Elizabeth does become pregnant. The angel Gabriel has visited Mary and told her that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon her and conceive in her a child that would be born and would be the Son of God. And then where we pick up today is when Elizabeth has conceived and is in her fifth month of pregnancy. And then actually in her sixth month when Mary goes and visits her. And so that's where we pick up in this passage. So in those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." This is a wonderful interaction between two babies in the womb. John, who's about 6 months old in his mother's womb, and Jesus, who is newly conceived in his mother's womb. And there they are as children, as human beings, with souls and spirits, even interacting with one another. It's really amazing. I love how in those days when Mary has been visited by the angel Gabriel, and the Holy Spirit has come upon her and conceived in her Jesus. And who can she relate to about this? I mean, who can understand? Who can appreciate what has happened to her? Well, the angel Gabriel, when he visited her, has told her that your relative Elizabeth is already in her fifth month of pregnancy because she is having a child. And so Mary, it says, arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. The one person that would understand is Elizabeth, who has also experienced a miraculous conception and pregnancy. Not the same as Mary, but still miraculous, ordained and prophesied from a message by an angel who stands in the presence of God. Zechariah has seen the angel. He's now can't talk. You know, God is at work, and Mary goes to that house where people will understand what is happening. And she goes with haste. She gets up and she goes. And she goes out into the hill country where God has performed a miracle. And you can see in the Gospel of Luke how God is working among the poor, the lowly, not the rich and the powerful. He's working among the lowly. And he is working his miracles. He's fulfilling his purpose in the world. So she enters the house of Zechariah, and she greets Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth hears the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. Leaped. Didn't just like kick. The baby leaped in her womb. You know, it's a matter-of-fact statement. This is a baby. It is a child who is responding to a voice, who's responding to a presence. And it's a great illustration of how the child in her womb, who becomes John, he is his own person. He's an individual with a soul and a spirit, yet he's also a part of his mother. He's living in his mother. So he's dependent on her, and he experiences what she experiences, but also he experiences what he hears. And we heard a great story today, I think Jeannie was there, about an ultrasound, where they were watching the baby in the ultrasound, and he's moving around, he's kicking. It was a girl, actually, moving around, kicking. And the dad is outside of the room, and they're watching the baby's looking right up at the ultrasound. And when the dad comes into the room and says something, they see the baby turn her head to the dad. And it's like this. John hears the voice of Mary, maybe experiences in that the presence of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and he leaps. And Mary recognizes that the baby leaped when he heard the voice of Mary. And Elizabeth, then, was filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is something we also see, that people are filled with the Holy Spirit. She doesn't do anything. She doesn't somehow do something magical and become filled with the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit comes upon her graciously as a gift and fills her. If we fast forward all the way to the end of Luke, what we see is because of the work of Jesus, now each one of us is able to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Right now, it is at the Spirit's initiative who comes and fills Elizabeth. Through the work of Christ, we can invite that infilling of the Holy Spirit, and He will come. And in this case, He fills Elizabeth with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." This is great. The Holy Spirit fills her, and she exclaims with a loud cry, a blessing. Jim actually sent me an email about blessing one another today. This is what the expression of the Holy Spirit in us should look like, in one sense, a blessing to others. To be filled with the Holy Spirit and to exclaim blessings over one another, blessings over our home, our church, our town, by the presence of the Holy Spirit, to bless one another. She blesses Mary. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. What she is saying, what she's exclaiming, is what God is already doing. She's blessing Mary by confirming what God is doing in Mary. God is blessing Mary. God is blessing her with Jesus. Elizabeth, by the Holy Spirit, is confirming that Mary is blessed and the fruit of her womb is blessed. That's our call also, which we don't do enough, to confirm the Lord's work among us, to confirm His blessing on people. And then she asks, why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Listen to what she calls Mary. She calls Mary, as Elizabeth is inspired by the Holy Spirit, she refers to Mary as the mother of my Lord. Even now, Jesus, newly conceived in her, He is the Lord in Mary. He is the person of the Son of God in Mary. She is His mother, the mother of my Lord. And think about the faith that Elizabeth is demonstrating here. She is saying that this recently conceived child in Mary is her Lord. That's seen with the eyes of faith, to see how could this be, that a child conceived by a lowly person in a lowly place is my Lord. It's the faith demonstrated by the wise men who come, the shepherds who come when Jesus is just a baby. They come to worship the Lord. And Elizabeth demonstrates the eyes of faith here. Why is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And this also does indicate the esteem of Mary. She is the mother of the Lord Jesus. He is within her. And Elizabeth goes on, "For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." There you have two statements about the baby leaping for joy at the sound of Mary's voice. "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Mary believed, and therefore it is done unto her according to the Lord's will. And that is a blessing. When it is done unto us according to the Lord's will, it is a blessing. And it's also instructive that we too are blessed when we believe the word of the Lord. When we believe the word of the Lord, we are blessed. And it is through our belief in the word of the Lord that it is able to be fulfilled in our lives. The blessings of God are fulfilled so often by our own faith and belief in them. And Elizabeth acknowledges that what has happened to Mary is from the Lord, which must have been very, very encouraging and affirming to Mary herself, who knows how she was interpreting all of this. But Elizabeth confirms for her that this is from the Lord, that what is conceived in you, like the angel has said, is the Son of the Most High. He is the Lord. Which shows us why it's so important that sometimes when God works in our life, to arise with haste and go to someone who will understand and say, listen, here's what God is doing. What do you think? Oh, you are blessed. You're blessed by what God is doing in your life. If we tell someone who has no idea, they may just think we're wacky. But if we go to someone mature in the faith who also understands the way that God works, then they are able to encourage us, to confirm that this is from the Lord. Now it's time for Mary's response, and she sings her song called the Magnificat. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." So this is a song inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's in tune and in line with other songs, the Psalms, the song of Hannah, Samuel's mom, the song of Moses, the song of Deborah in the Old Testament. It's a prophetic song by Mary. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. As our soul, you know, maybe be in our mind, our emotions, our will, as we magnify the Lord, as we focus on the Lord in our mind and in our emotions, and as we look upon the Lord, that causes our spirit to rejoice in what we are meditating upon. And our spirit rejoices in our meditation and our experience of God. And we rejoice in God, my Savior. We wholeheartedly worship and meditate on him and experience him. And notice how Mary, being the mother of Jesus, still looks upon God as her Savior. She requires saving. While she is blessed among women, she is still one who is a woman who needs salvation. And so she calls God her Savior. He has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, now, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. And every generation, that is fulfilled as we look upon Mary and call her blessed, the mother of the Lord, the chosen one to carry Jesus inside her. And she is blessed. Someone very humble from a lowly town among a lowly people. And she is blessed among all. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Just a praise and a thankfulness for God. Something that we could all say. He who is mighty has done great things for me. And meditate. Count them out. What are some of the great things God has done for you? And holy is his name. His name above all is holy. For only he could do the great things that he has done for us. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. Those who turn to God receive mercy. Those who fear him, and like the tax collector Jesus describes in the parable, don't even feel proud enough to look up to heaven, but look down and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. It is for those who reverence the Lord's holiness and his greatness. It's those to whom God's mercy flows from generation to generation, all those whom the Lord calls to himself. Not just us, but this is a promise too for the next generation, that God's mercy will flow to the younger generations. He has shown the strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He is greater than all. Nobody can stand against the Lord. Those who are prideful, he humbles. Those who exalt themselves, he humbles. The kingdoms that have stood previous to this and throughout history, they all are scattered eventually. People who boast of themselves are scattered in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He satisfies the hungry with good things. Those who recognize their hunger and come to the Lord, he satisfies them. But those who try to remain independent of God, they eventually go away empty. And he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. Jesus himself, fulfilling Israel's call and need and purpose in the world, he helps Israel. God helps Israel by giving them Jesus, a Savior, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever. Jesus is the seed of Abraham. He is the one who will make Abraham's offspring like the stars of the sky or like the sand of the beach, too numerous to count. It is through Jesus that he will make many sons and daughters for Abraham. And then Luke tells us, and Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. So she remained probably until about the time, if not after, John the Baptist was born. And then she returns to her home as her pregnancy develops. Now the time for Elizabeth to give birth came, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him." In these narratives, you have kind of the insiders who have heard from God, who know firsthand what God is doing. And then you have the outsiders who are hearing about it, but don't really know what God is doing. They're on the periphery of God's working, of God's promises, of God's fulfillment, and they wonder at it. And we want to make sure that we are hearing ourselves from God. So we're not just hearing second or third hand what God is saying or doing and kind of wondering at it, whether or not we really buy it or believe it. We want to hear from God. We want to receive his spirit. We want to receive his word and experience it ourselves and then tell people about it. And then hear how God is working in their lives to encourage one another and to rejoice together. Now, as Elizabeth gives birth, this is the fulfillment of the promise that God made through Gabriel to Zechariah. And her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they rejoiced with her. When Elizabeth is pregnant, she says that God has taken away my reproach among the people. So now they hear how God has shown Elizabeth, who was called barren, great mercy. And now they come and rejoice with her at her birth, at the birth of John. God has made the barren woman a mother. He has shown mercy to her, and they rejoice with her. And on the eighth day, when the time comes to circumcise and name the child, they naturally want to call him Zechariah after his father, but the angel Gabriel said that his name was to be John. And remember, Zechariah has not spoken during the entire term of the pregnancy. And now, even 8 days after he is born, he has not been able to speak. But Elizabeth knows, and no, he shall be called John. This is what the angel said, who has brought this about. And they don't know what is happening. Well, none of your relatives is named John. They don't know the inside story in Revelation. So they call to Zechariah. He writes, his name is John. And in his now obedient state, his mouth is open and he can finally talk. And after 9+ months of not being able to talk. When his tongue is loosed, he blesses God. He praises God. And I think this is a lesson. So often our words are words of doubt or worldly words. And sometimes we just need to be quiet, let the Holy Spirit fill us and inspire praises and blessings to God. And as they hear him and he's blessing God, they recognize that God is up to something. There is a miracle at work here. And fear came on all their neighbors. There's an astonishment, a trepidation about what might be happening. As they talk about these things and wonder what it is. And when God is present and God is moving, but somebody is on the outside of that and doesn't really know the word of God, the revelation of God, the character of God, it can cause fear and trepidation because, you know, this is an all-consuming fire of a God. This is a God who created all things, and many people would rather not know anything about God or be anywhere near him than be close to him without knowing his nature and without hearing his good news. And that's why I think some people just try to stay away. They don't want to know. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to think about it. Bring up Jesus to someone who doesn't know Jesus. Bring up what God is doing in your life. Bring up heaven and hell and watch people scatter and change the subject and create some defense mechanism against that. Fear came on all their neighbors at the miraculous birth of a child, at the manifestation of God. And all these things were talked about through the hill country of Judea. There's a curiosity. What's happening? What's going to happen? And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be?" For the hand of the Lord was with him. And I think as I meditated on this, this is a question that is good to ask over children and even over adults. God, what is this child going to be? God, what is your call for this child? God, what is your promise and blessing for this child? Not the kind of worst case scenarios that we think about in light of the world that our children are growing up in. God, how is this child ever going to make it? How can this child ever get a good education? How can he or she ever survive in this world? How can he or she live a holy life in such a corrupt world of darkness? But instead to ask, Lord, place your hand upon this child. And with your hand and your presence, what can this child be? What can this child do? What is your plan and vision for this child? What are the gifts this child has, the call and purpose? And then to explore it and pray about it and bless the child like Elizabeth blessed Mary. I bless this child as one upon whom God has his hand. I bless this child as one who is given the Holy Spirit and gifts and aptitude and a call. I bless this child as one whose angel sees the face of God every day. One who angels protect and minister to. One upon whom God's face shines. What then will this child be? And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, just like Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and blessed Mary. Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit and sang her song. Now Zechariah is filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesies. Each one of us who has the Holy Spirit can invite him to fill us and to speak through us God's word and blessing. And we can speak God's blessing and song over people, place, our lives, whatever it is. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. The oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. It's good to just bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, the God of Israel. And he is the God of Israel. He is the God of this people that he called as his own. For he has visited and redeemed his people. Here is a prophetic statement coming from the Holy Spirit of what Jesus is doing. Jesus is visiting his people. He is redeeming Israel. Jesus, in fact, when he lamented over Jerusalem, he said, you know, your walls are going to be torn down because you did not recognize the time of the Lord's visitation. Jesus is coming, God visiting his people. And when God visits his people, he's coming in redemption. When God visits you in his goodness and grace, he is always doing the work of redeeming you from sin, from corruption, from the lies that we have believed, from the wounds from which we need healing. He is redeeming us. He has raised up a horn of salvation in the house of his servant David. On one hand, he could be talking about John because Zechariah and Elizabeth are, you know, of Israel. Could be talking about Israel as the house of his servant David, but more so, I think it is speaking about the Messiah coming from the house of David. When God prophesied or spoke to David in 2 Samuel 7, and he said, I will build you a house, and you will never, I think, fail to have a offspring who sits on the throne. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, this house that God has built for David and is still under construction. It hasn't ended. And he's prophesying now that salvation is coming to the house of David. The promise is fulfilled. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Salvation. Salvation is God promised. He is fulfilling to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. God is bringing about the fulfillment to save them in order that they might serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Well, the history of Israel shows that they cannot do this on their own. They cannot serve the Lord in holiness and righteousness. So there is something new happening. There is a new promise coming, a new covenant coming that will enable God's people to live in holiness and righteousness and serve him without fear of messing up, without fear of getting punished, without fear of being led away into sin. But in a new covenant, in a new relationship in holiness and righteousness. And this shows us that each one of us is called to serve God in holiness and righteousness. And not just a type of spiritual holiness and righteousness that we have in heaven, but we go on living unholy and sinful and unrighteous lives here. No, this is to serve him really day in and day out in holiness and righteousness. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. Now he's prophesying to his child. Now he's speaking the word of God over his own son. You, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, the one who is to come. You will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to set a course before him, and to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God. What a calling to give the knowledge of salvation in the forgiveness of sins. That's the good news that we also have. What John is doing preemptively for Christ, we do after he has already done his work on the cross. We give knowledge of salvation to people. We give knowledge of the forgiveness of people's sins That's the good news. That's our call. You might call it going after the Lord, telling people about Jesus' salvation. It's good news. The message of Jesus, he has saved us. He has forgiven us sins because of the tender mercy of God. The tender mercy of God. You know, unless it is preached, unless someone is sent, people will not know about the tender mercy of God. They will not know about the salvation of God or the forgiveness of God. They'll have in mind something different, something misinformed, something false. We have to tell them the truth. And it is through this salvation and the forgiveness of sins and the tender mercy of God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. What wonderful news that all those sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, God is shining his light upon them. And it's the good news of Jesus Christ that is the light that overcomes the darkness. Jesus himself being the embodiment of grace and goodness. And through it, he guides our feet into the way of peace. As Paul said in Romans 5:1, now that we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Shalom, reconciliation with God. Acceptance with God, righteousness in God, relationship. He delights in us as his children. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. Now, to jump ahead, we know that he's in the wilderness until the word of the Lord visits him in the wilderness. And then he goes into all the regions of Judea proclaiming that good news that his father has prophesied over him. So it's in that wilderness that God prepares us. It's in the wilderness that God forms us, forms our character, reveals himself to us, maybe tests us, to see if we're ready for a public appearance with his power and might. It's very convicting to think about this, because so often when we're in the wilderness, when we don't know yet what the word of the Lord is for us to do, or we don't have the vision yet or the call yet, and we're in the wilderness, we can become very lackadaisical. We can start fiddling around with the things of the world, or just become apathetic. We can become distracted and dissipated. We can think wrong thoughts, like we have no purpose, we have no call, we have no gifts. What are we doing? It's those times in the wilderness when all of those things might seem true that we have to exercise our faith, that we have to pursue God and stay faithful to him, like Jesus does against the temptations of Satan in the wilderness. We have those times. And what John would seem to do by this brief passage and the one in chapter 3 is that he waits for the word of God, and he prays and he listens. And when the word of God comes, the day of his public appearance to Israel happens. And then God uses all that time in the wilderness for the ministry of John, for its effectiveness. And the time that we have, whenever that is, I think it's important for us to devote it to the Lord, to devote it to praying, to studying his word, to listening, and just to being holy and not allowing ourselves to be distracted and to give in to the temptations of the world, or to accept the lying thoughts of the devil, our own sinful nature, that, oh, God doesn't have anything for you, or you missed it and your time is over, or there's nothing left for you to do in ministry or in the church. Nobody wants to listen to you. Whatever those lies might be, they're lies. God has another word for us. It's up to us to listen, to seek him, and to hear that word, to take time and effort to be holy, to make the focus, our focus, on God. And then the day of our public appearance, the day of our ministry will come. Whatever that is, whatever that calling is, it will come because God has a plan and purpose for us. It won't be as singular as John's, who he was the prophet who goes before the Lord, but it will be just as significant in God's plan and big picture. It's no less clear in God's mind what we are called to, what we are gifted for, and the word that he has for us. So let us take time to listen for that word, and in the meantime, to be holy before him, to wait upon the Lord. So verse 139. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her. And they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be?" For the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.